Good morning and welcome to Coffee and Prayer. I'm Pastor Andrew F. Carter and it is 5:30 a.m. here in Inglewood, California. As you guys are tuning in, please let me know where you are and what time it is where you guys are watching. Listen, if you're on the replay, if you're on the podcast, I love you guys. And you might not get a chance to let me know where you are, but we are with you in spirit and we are so grateful that you guys are joining us. So as you guys come in, please just understand today we are going over the last chapter of Colossians 4, the book of Colossians. We're going over Colossians 4 as well as Proverbs chapter 20, right? It's going to be a beautiful thing. Look, we got people from Michigan, Florida. We got people from all over the world. It's a beautiful thing. Germany. We love it. We love it. We love it. New York. I just read a comment. You guys are wondering why I'm laughing. It says, "Hey, just wondering, God can help me get a girlfriend." I mean, he is a miracle worker. I can tell you that. He is a God of miracles, but I don't know your situation. Are you ready for a girlfriend? Right? Is your heart posture in the right place? Are you a man of God ready to lead? And are you a man of God who is submitted to the Lord? Or are we still struggling with elementary things? Are we ready and mature enough to enter into a relationship? Because I believe he will bring you a girlfriend when the time is right. Good morning, you guys. Ghana's in the house. I love to see it. I love to see it. Hey, I need a miracle, somebody says. Vegas, New Jersey. We're ready for it. They said, we're ready for it. They're saying, I'm ready. I love it. I love it. I love it. So check it out. We're going to finish up the last chapter of Colossians. I always say this and I always regret it, right? There's no regret in Christ. But I always say today's going to be short and sweet. We have very little to go over in Colossians. And then in Proverbs, not a lot really jumped out to me that I want to share with you guys. But, oh, look at all the people. Now, all of a sudden, they need a miracle. They need a boyfriend. They need a girlfriend. People are out here lonely. You know, y'all need Jesus. That's what you guys need. Y'all need Jesus. And you know I'm joking, right? Please. I'll say this, man. People have been, I think that you know as a pastor that you're doing things right when you ruffle feathers. I'm not intentionally ruffling feathers. I show up daily. I preach with love, with truth, from experience, right? Definitely a place of empathy because I've been in a lot of those places. But recently, more recently, you know that a lot of people my messages aren't sitting well with them. Now, those of you who roll with me and rock with me, that, you know, you guys are like, what are you talking about? But sometimes I say things or God will speak, you know, through me, or maybe it's just me, and it gets under their skin and they have issue with me and they like to set me aside and try to rebuke me when, you know, I don't know their relationship. And from the way things sound, they're not fully submitted to God. So I have individuals who aren't fully submitted to God stepping in and trying to rebuke me or set me straight. And that tells me that the Holy Spirit is doing exactly what the Holy Spirit needs to be doing. And that's conviction. Yet, you know, sometimes we'll get mad at the messenger, which is me, because the Holy Spirit's convicting you or speaking to you about something that's going on. Again, I think that that's an indication of being in tune with what God is speaking. And if I'm not, I repent. If I'm sharing something that's truly rude or discouraging or hurtful or harmful, or if I'm preaching from a place of selfishness, then I repent from that. But I've done some reflecting in prayer, and I don't think that that's the issue. Being a pastor is one of the craziest jobs, or I call it a job. It's one of the craziest purposes that I've walked in. It's one of the only places where you can rock with me for a year, right? I can pray for you, your family, have you help you have spiritual breakthrough, break chains, spend all of this time encouraging you, edifying you, taking time out of my day to love on you. And if I say one thing that irks you wrong, you unfollow me, you curse me out, you're mad at me because I said maybe one thing. So we can be rocking for a year, me constantly pouring into you and feeding you, not asking for a thing back. And the second I might say something that ruffles your feathers, oh, well, I don't agree with what you have to say. And we'll completely turn their back on the last year of relationship that we had. It's crazy. And it's happened. Like, it happens almost daily. I'll say one thing that kind of irks somebody, or I'll rebuke somebody or share the truth with them with love, and they don't like how it makes them feel. And so they walk away from my ministry even after I've spent all that time pouring into them. It's something that bothered me at first, but I understand that it's not me. That's individuals who are, projecting their insecurities, their issues, and the things that they're dealing with on to me and our relationship. It's not necessarily an indicator of anything that I'm saying or doing that's wrong, but it's interesting. I'm done. Angie said, you're not Willy Wonka. You don't sugarcoat it. I love that. I love that. Awesome. So that was my random rant. That was the things I've been dealing with for the last couple of days. People are definitely triggered and upset. And even saying, I'm saying things that I'm not even saying. I've watched it back. It's like, I never said that. You're hearing, you're feeling some kind of way, and you're wanting me to say that, but I never even said that, right? It's wild. It's wild. Let's pray and get started. I really want to jump into Colossians chapter 4. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, your message, God, for just allowing us to come to this place where we can gather together, where we can be edified, we can be challenged, we can be changed. God, we just know that you're in this place. And so, God, I personally pray that there would be none of me in all of you, that the words that come out of my mouth would bring you glory, would bring you honor, and that would point people to you and the foot of your cross. I don't want this to be about me. God, I pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us all eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would help us to be receptive, that as we enter into this place, that we would be changed and transformed, God, that we would leave this place different. We don't want to come in here and leave your presence the same way that we came in. So God, even in our frustration or discouragement, even God, in the face of conviction, help us to understand that you're here daily, sanctifying, changing us, challenging our opinions, our behaviors, our beliefs, helping us become more like your son Jesus. And we pray this all in his mighty name. Amen and amen. Isn't that the process though? Isn't that the process? Is that we're here trying to be changed and transformed. Listen, man, I surround myself. I've got a solid group of dudes who I rock with, and many of them are on here this morning. But we had our men's group yesterday, but there was three of us who we got together beforehand. Our intention was to create content, and we really didn't create any content. We did one video, but we ended up just fellowshipping and encouraging and talking about Jesus and talking about what he's doing and discussing what God's doing in our lives. And we did that for like 2.5-3 hours. Then we sat in with our men's group where we had about 30 or 40 guys come in sharing their testimonies and just edifying and encouraging each other. And during that time, man, I'm leaving. We left to drive home, me and my boy Jalen. And as we're walking away, we're just like, gosh, man, we just spent the last 4.5-5 hours, even with the ride included, just talking about Jesus, just testifying, sharing his love, his mercy, and grace. We've just surrounded ourselves with other men who are running the same race or are heading in the same direction. And it's a beautiful thing. But I leave changed. I leave challenged. I leave transformed. God speaks to me in those moments, and I love it. I love it. Some of the things they're talking about, I'm like, man, that challenges me. That's not what I think. But God, the way that you're saying that, I desire change. I desire correction. I want to be challenged. If I'm thinking away and it's not leading me anywhere, I don't want to continue in that way. Because remember, listen, doing something the same way, expecting different results is considered crazy. That's the definition of insanity. I don't want to be insane. I don't want to keep living life a certain way, expecting God to make a miracle in a part of my life that I'm not willing to change. I want to lay everything down. I don't want to do it my way, because my way sucks. My way fails. My way is filled with mistakes, and my way is filled with shortcomings and mess ups. I don't want it to go Andrew's way. I want it to go God's way. So I'm willing to be humble and set aside my ego and set aside the fact that I don't know everything. Listen, I promise you we'll get into Colossians. It's short, so I'm just filling the time with truth. this is one thing that we kind of came to the conclusion of yesterday as we were conversating, something I shared. I was just like, look, I don't know what God is doing with my life. I don't know where it's going, right? A lot of people, and I love this for you. This is, so please don't put words in my mouth. I love that people set goals. They have plans. They have vision boards. They have dreams. I love that people write things down and they have a direction for their life, right? I've written things down. I stand on Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, which I absolutely love. So I practice that. But at the end of the day, I am not a very goal-oriented individual anymore. And I'll tell you this why. Because after 37 years of planning and vision boards and dreams and goals and all of these things, many times my visions, dreams, and goals were rooted in a place of my flesh. It's what I wanted. It's the direction I wanted to go. It's the things that I wanted to accomplish. It was the bucket list and the checklist of things that I wanted. And I got to a point where I was reaching those things, yet even in the middle of reaching the bucket list items, the checklist, after accomplishing these goals and these visions and these dreams, I still felt empty. And I realized that many of the times my goals, dreams, and visions come from a place of selfishness, right? And so what I've done is I've set aside the visions, the dreams, and the goals, and my prayer is simply, God, I want to live the life that you've made me for. And many times, I mean, even according to scripture, it says, man will plan his way, but God establishes his steps. I have had dreams, visions, and goals completely crushed, right? Become completely crushed because God was wanting me to go in a different direction. And I've also been in a place where I ignored God's direction to pursue my own goals, only to find discouragement, no satisfaction, and disappointment. So I've gotten to a place, as I've gotten older, I realize I have no idea what God's doing with my life, but I trust him. And so my daily goal, right, I set smaller goals. My goal is to keep my eyes on him, to stay focused on him, and to go where the Spirit leads me, right? Spirit, lead me. That is my prayer. God, lead me to where it is that you want me to go, because I can set all of the goals, visions, and dreams in the world, but if they don't line up with your will, I don't want them. So I've gotten to a place where I don't even busy myself with creating these goals, because I'll tell you this, the life that I live today was never on a dream board. It was never on a goal list. It was never a part of a checklist. But I can tell you that I have more purpose, passion, peace, comfort, happiness, and joy in the life that I live now with a fraction of the things that I had. And that is because I have surrendered my life, visions, goals, and dreams for what God has created me for. And the creator of who I am knows what's absolute best for me. I would have never chose to be a pastor. I would have never chose to be on social media. I never would have never chose to speak in front of people. That was not who I was. That was not my goals, my visions, my dreams. I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel prepared. I didn't feel equipped. But when I set aside all of my preconceived notions, ideas, visions, dreams, and goals and followed him blindly in faith, then and only then has he led me to a place where I am truly filled with passion, happiness, and joy. A place where I get up at 4:30. I don't struggle out of bed. I hop up and I'm excited to live life because I know that I'm living on purpose. I don't need a long vacation from my life because I love the life that God has given me. I don't love my life unto death, but I love the purpose, the plan that he has for me. So I don't need to be gone for 2-3 weeks getting a break from my life. I was excited to come back home. I was excited to be back in my Jeep to get into coffee and prayer. So one thing, the thing that I'm saying and sharing all of this for, and you guys are like, Andrew, we need scripture. And I'm like, hold on a second. I promise you this is going to be worth it. The thing that I've noted, that I've realized and come to know is that I don't know anything at all. The thing that I can stand on is I don't know anything at all. We were driving home and I was like, I'm excited for what God has in store for me. And Jalen's like, well, what has he got in store for you? I was like, I don't even know. I don't know. Will I be a pastor of a church in 5 years? Will I be traveling the world? Will I be alive? I don't know. I have no idea, but that's what's so exciting. It's an adventure. And I'm on this adventure daily with God, and he provides for me every single day. And if I don't have it, I don't need it. And so I'm not consumed or focused on what's going on around me. I'm focused on him. And as I follow his lead every single day, he provides peace. He provides comfort. He provides food. He provides shelter. I might have wore this shirt, you know, every single week, but it still fits and it's comfortable and I love it, right? I love it. Brother on here was just like, man, I know how many of those shirts you got. I was like, no, you don't. He's like, yeah, they got the three stitches on the side. And I was like, dang, do I wear them that often? He's like, you got a black one, a red one, a blue one, and like a tangerine one. And I was like, man, I've actually got three more. I need to get them into the mix a little bit more often. But I'm provided for, man. I'm provided for. God loves us. But where a lot of the frustration, discouragement, the anxiousness, and not the disease of anxiety, not the mental health issue of anxiety, but the anxiousness, and not the mental health issue of depression, but the depression, right? I'm not clinically depressed, but I go through bouts of depression. I don't clinically have anxiety, but I do get anxious. So in those bouts of anxiousness, depression, frustration, discouragement, many times what I'm seeing from my experience is that I'm striving and trying to complete my own visions, dreams, and goals, but they're not satisfying, they're not coming to fruition, they're not coming together because God is calling me in a different direction. So I'm fighting the creator of who I am and what I was created to do for my own personal selfish desires, goals, gains, visions, dreams, and things like that. And that's where there becomes this tension and there's this gap. When the Spirit's leading me this way, yet my flesh is pulling me this way, this is where that division, this is where that frustration and all of those issues that you're dealing with that got you feeling heavy and weighted down, many times it's because there's opposition between where God's calling you and where you want to go. Amen. Amen. So I think now's a good time to get into scripture. I didn't plan any of that. That's it right there. Living that way is so draining. And I've done that, man. I've done that. I have lived a life in opposition. Like my part of my testimony, I share this all the time. I was called to ministry at 23. You guys, I didn't step into ministry until I was 35. So for 12 years, and during that 12 years, there were little inklings of success. Called to ministry to preach to millions of people and to have words of gold and to write books and tell people, millions of people, about Jesus. At 23, I didn't start doing that till I was 35. So for 12 years, I lived a life that was in opposition of the will, plan, purpose, and God, and the goal, like the purpose, plan, and will that God created me for. And over that 12 years, yes, I got a couple of degrees. I started a business. I can list my achievements, my accolades, my awards. None of them satisfied. None of them brought peace. In fact, behind the scenes, I was angry. I was violent. I hadn't healed from my childhood trauma. There was no peace. There was no joy. I hated who I was. I thought about taking my own life. I thought about committing crimes. I thought about adultery. I lived in complete and blatant sin for those 12 years. I created a kingdom and built a life all around myself. I was selfish, selfish, selfish. Everything was about me. And over that 12 years, I wound up in prison. I lost everything. I wound up divorced, constantly chasing after my own visions, dreams, and goals. And I was willing to sacrifice everything in my life to achieve those things. And I achieved those things. But what was the cost? I lost everything. I lost everything. So I sit on the other side of running from the purpose God created me for. I sit on the other side of losing everything from personal experience. And I'm sitting here encouraging you guys. Hey, the one thing that I've learned is I have no idea, no idea what God's doing. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather have what He's doing than what I can come up with. I'd rather do what God has called me to do, because I've tried to run from Him. I've tried to do my own thing. But I sit here on the other side just trying to encourage you guys that what He has for you, what He's created you for, far surpasses and outweighs anything you can think of, dream of, or imagine. And this is the Holy Spirit, man. Every time I say we're going to be short and sweet, He does this. Right? I was like, oh, we're going to be short and sweet. Okay, Colossians chapter 4. Let's jump into the scripture. Somebody asked a great question. I'm not going to read the chapter. I'm not going to get into Colossians yet. Was that 12 years part of His plan? I don't think so. I think that I had an opportunity, and this is the grace and the beauty and the mercy of God. This is how I look at it, and you guys can look at it in different ways. I believe that if I would have answered the call, that God would have blessed my ministry, my family, my home, and all of those things. Like, it would have been good. I think that there would have been an impact because I was called in that moment. I had a decision to make. right? Just like Jonah. Jonah was called to Nineveh. He had a choice, okay? Did he go to Nineveh and do what God told him to do? No, he fled. He ran. So the consequences for my actions was 12 years in the belly of the well. My belly of the well moment lasted for 12 years. I ran from that. The grace, mercy, and beauty of God is that he turned my mess, my belly of the well moment, he turned my mess into a miracle. So no situation was wasted or empty. During that 12 years, I was able to go through a divorce and go to prison and get help and go to counseling and do all of these things. So now in that 12-year belly of the well period, God says, okay, that wasn't a part of the plan, but you went your own way. You made your own choices and decisions. What I'm now going to do is I'm going to use that testimony for my glory. Okay, so your mess, I'm going to turn into a miracle. So I don't believe that that was a part of the plan, but he uses my mistakes, my failures, because that's how good he is. And he can take that and now use that to bless other people, right? Use other people. I don't believe that. I believe I had a decision and a choice. I had a choice to follow the spirit or follow the flesh, and I followed the flesh, right? Yeah. So people think, well, that's the beauty of him making a miracle out of my mess. Can I use my mess to testify to others? Yes. But up to that point, I had a testimony. When I was saved at 23, that didn't change the fact that I had gone through foster care. That didn't change the fact that I had gone through all of the other things, through drugs and alcohol and all of those things. So I still had a strong testimony that could have spoke. I believe that the audience would have looked a little bit different. I believe maybe my view and my angle, I had a lot less tattoos. So I think that in that moment, he had me and I could have gone a different direction. I would have reached a different audience and I would have, you know, I think it would have looked different. It would have looked different, but that's my standpoint, and that's my look at it from retrospect, looking at the way things have happened. So, I think you guys can say, well, that's a part of his plan. I do think that we have choices, right? We have a choice and a decision. Every choice that you make and every decision that you make has a consequence. When you choose to follow your flesh, there's a consequence. When you choose to follow your spirit, there's a consequence, a good consequence. And so when you choose to follow your flesh over your spirit, you make these choices, decisions, and they usually come with consequences, negative consequences. And the grace and mercy of God is able to use those failures and mistakes in order to bring him glory, right? But do you think that it's God's will for you to be disobedient? No. We're his children. He wants us to be obedient. So I think that in the moment, he was calling me a certain direction and he desired my obedience. He desired me to choose the spirit. But in that moment, I was selfish. I didn't choose that. I wasn't mature enough in the spirit. I chose to follow my flesh. Amen. So now can we get to Colossians? Let's get into Colossians. Some of you guys might not have be here, but somebody else would have rose up, right? We're not going to get into Colossians yet. I think of the story of Esther, right? She was made for a time such as this, but also it was also told to her that if she doesn't step up, then somebody else will, right? If she doesn't step up, so read the book of Esther. She had a choice. Is she going to step into the purpose and the plan and the will that God called her to? So this is scripture, so don't argue with me. So she had the decision. Was she going to step into what God called her to? Or if she didn't, somebody else would come along, right? There are other people There's other people who you guys might have resonated with. So there's another tattooed guy in a Jeep somewhere who probably would have rose up and you guys would have resonated with him. So if I didn't answer the call, right? Because think of that. Think about the people who don't answer the call. People think about the people who don't step into it, right? So people are like, hey, Colossians 4 is short. We got time. We do. We really do. I promise you we'll get into it. But look at the book of Esther. She was made for a time such as this, but if she wouldn't have been obedient to the call that God was calling her to, what would have happened? Next, okay, next in line. So in that moment, this is what I truly believe. When I was 23 and I was called into ministry, I didn't answer that call. Guess what? Somebody else moved into that same position and they went out and did what God called me to do. Does that make sense? So because I didn't answer that call, another individual, just like Esther would have happened, it wouldn't have been the book of Esther, it would have been the book of Janice. I don't know. Sorry if there's a Janice on here, but maybe Janice was the next one up. And if Esther didn't answer the call, okay, sorry, Esther, you're out of here, right? You're not going to answer. Well, we're gonna push you aside, and the next person, God's plan, purpose, and will isn't going to be thwarted because of our disobedience. So he'll bring the next, he'll elevate and encourage the next person to step up, boom, and go for it, right? And so that's what I believe happened when I was 23. And even in this situation, what if I didn't answer the call? What if I was still pursuing my flesh? What if I still didn't make the choice and the decision? Because listen, don't you think for one moment that I can't lose the position that I'm in, right? It only takes one bad decision. Understand that I'm tempted daily. It only takes me to choose my flesh for me to lose this position. This isn't a permanent title. This isn't a permanent position. This is a very short. So we think that, oh, well, now you're here. But guess what? If I don't stay alert and stay guarded and protect my heart and pick up my cross every single day, if I don't die to myself, I can lose this place right here too because of my disobedience. So I keep it. No, man. I keep it, you got to stay humble. You got to stay hungry. You got to stay locked into the scripture and the word. You don't inherit like anything when it comes to that. Like you have a choice every single day, every single day. And I think that's what happens is people get so comfortable. Oh, well, you're here now. I don't have to be. I could be gone in a second. Right? And that's what we tend to do is we tend to put all of these preachers and pastors and people on these pedestals. That was a lot of P's. Preachers and pastors and people on pedestals. Say that a couple times fast. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. We put them on these pedestals and then we're just like, whoa, Ravi Zacharias, fall from grace. He was behind the scenes looking at things and doing things that he shouldn't, right? Carl Lentz, he was having a full-blown affair. Like people are so shocked when these individuals fall from these positions of power and prestige because they exalt them and put them on this pedestal, they forget that they're human beings. They forget that when they stop picking up their cross, when they stop dying daily, when they start operating out of their flesh, they too are subject to the consequences of choosing and deciding poorly, right? When they choose poorly. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So this leads into Colossians chapter 4, right? What are Christians to do? Paul tells us, continue praying, keep alert, and always thanking God, right? Continue praying, keeping alert, and always thanking God. Staying alert, staying awake, checking your heart, making sure that you're reflecting on the things that you're doing, the way that you're acting, the way that you're behaving, the way that you're interacting with people. Amen? It says, also pray for us so that God will give us an opportunity to tell people his message. I love that prayer. Paul's asking, he's asking the church, the Colossian church, to pray for him. Hey, he's in prison. Listen to what he's asking them to pray for, right? Imagine you being in prison, right? We're back in Colossians. We're back on track here. Imagine being in prison and going, hey, I need prayer. And they're just like, what? You need prayer for, you know, a better mattress because we know you're sleeping on a slab of stone or maybe even the ground. Maybe for better food, we'll pray for. You want us to put some money on your books, right? We'll shoot you a little love offering so you can buy commissary. He's like, no, I'm in prison. I want you to pray for me, right? That I have an opportunity to tell people his message. I mean, he's in prison. And the thing that he's asking for, hey, I want more opportunities to tell people about Jesus. I want someone to get locked up so they're celled up with me so I can start preaching them the gospel. I want somebody to get a brand new job as a guard and they've got to watch over me. And now guess what? I get to preach them the gospel. I want new opportunities to preach the gospel. He says, pray for us that God will give us an opportunity to tell people his message. Pray that we can preach the secret that God has made known about Christ. He goes, this is why I'm in prison. This is why I'm in prison. Pray that I can speak in a way that will make it clear as I should. Wow. Verse 5 says this, be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers. This is a whole word for everybody on here. If you follow Jesus, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, it says, be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. How many opportunities are we squandering, right? One thing that we tend to do, and I have a hard time doing this, is holding non-believers to the same standards at which we hold believers, right? It even says in scripture that those who don't follow Christ, they don't need to live the same way that we do, right? We are followers. We must hold each other to a higher standard, a higher level, right? A biblical, godly standard. We, the church, the body of Christ, we are in this world, but not of this world. We have been chosen and set aside. We need to not conform to the image of this world, but renew our mind daily. So we hold ourselves to a higher standard. What many of us do is we look out at the world, the non-believers, and we sit in the seat of judgment, and we rise ourselves up on these holy high horses and look down at all of the sinners. How could you do that? How could you live like that? How can you perform those things? You know how? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have Jesus. And so they do what their fleshly nature desires. And don't get it twisted. There was a time in your life, you might not have done the things that they're doing, but you lived in the same state, which is a state that is filled with sin. We're so quick to jump up on these holy high horses and think that we are better than others when we forget that they too need forgiveness. They too need Jesus. And it's only through Jesus that they are changed and transformed and will repent and turn from their ways and be welcomed into the body of Christ. And now we can help disciple them and feed them and lead them and grow them and build them up to a point where they turn from those things. They repent from those things and they start to live in a manner that looks like we do, in the same way that we do. It blows my mind how quick we are to look out at this world. And I get it. The world's dark. It's evil. It's sick. The things that they do is an abomination to God. So I'm on the same page. I'm not just like, oh, high five that they're doing these things. But we also have to understand that every time we come into contact with these people, we might not agree with the things they do, the things they believe, the way that they live. We don't have to, because we're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. We're living a whole different life. But be wise. This is scripture. Man, this is scripture. Be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. Sometimes your preconceived notions, your judgments, sometimes your preconceived notions and your judgments keep you from an opportunity. They have you missing an opportunity to preach the gospel because you've prejudged people based on their appearance, based on their reputation, or based on their sin. That's low key a little bit of conviction. I'm definitely going to get a message today from somebody. Ooh, that ruffles feathers. That'll preach though, right? That'll preach. So somebody's definitely going to get upset about that one. Ooh. We allow stereotypes, we allow our limited experience, we allow our judgment and preconceived notions of other people keep us from opportunities to preach the gospel. And it's funny because that's many of our prayers. God, I want to live for you. I want to tell the world about Jesus, but not that person. Oof. Not that person who's living that way. I would never talk to them. Gosh, their sin is so yucky and gross. I don't even want to be around him. Their sin makes me sick. He's just like, bro, but you're literally asking for opportunities to preach the gospel. But now what you're doing is you're running a background check and you're going through, you know, preliminary, a pre-screening to see if they're good enough to get into heaven. Imagine if God did that with you. What if God did that with you? You might not have made the cut. I wouldn't have. If there was a background check and a pre-screening, I am so thankful that God, I'm an A1 felon. I am the highest level of felons because I started at a young age committing crime. I am so glad he didn't do a background check and he can use me, right? Even in despite of my past and who I was and the things that I did, he can still use me. See, I just seen the thing. That's what's wrong with a lot. I just described a lot of people in church. And that breaks my heart. that people would even say that. How many people, right? What I've seen church become in some instances is it's like a country club. It's an exclusive club where, you know, it's extremely cliquey and you've got to, you know, be this or that in order to show up. And it's like, man, that was never what it was intended to be. That's people, that's tradition, that's religion, that's the stench of human hands getting a hold of something that was meant to be beautiful and us contorting it and distorting it and changing it to something that God never intended it to be. So back to scripture, this is what he's saying. He's like, be wise in the way that you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant so you will be able to answer everyone in the way that you should. Woo! Conviction. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant so you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. I think that a lot of us are missing opportunities to preach the gospel with the way that we interact with people. Or the lack of interaction. And I'm guilty of that, I think, mostly is... when I'm out in public, I'm really closed off, man. I'm just one of those guys who I put my headphones in and I won't be super interactive. I'm gonna tell you guys who's somebody who's super interactive. My brother Fred, right? Listen, Fred, if you're on here, bro, Fred is probably the kindest. He's one of the most outgoing people I've met in my entire life. This man finds a friend everywhere we go. It's just like taking a kid with me everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, he's like, he's got stray people that he's bringing with us. And I'm like, bro, what is going on? He's got all these friends. I was like, how do you know him? He's like, oh, I just met him. I'm like, how do you have a best friend in a 5-minute situation? This man is so friendly. And I was convicted by it. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I'm just an outgoing person, man. I just love people. And this man genuinely cares and really loves people. Someone asked, is Fred my brother? No, Fred, I mean, he's my brother in Christ. He's my brother in Christ. But Fred is just super friendly. And I got convicted because he was like, you know, oh, I love people and I care. And he really does. It's not small talk. Like, we walk into a place and he just starts talking to people. And I'm so uncomfortable. I'm like, why are you talking to them? You don't know them. Like, it's like feeding a cat. And it's like feeding a stray. Then you're not going to be able to get rid of them. And then, man... comes on in and he's talking to people and it's contagious. Then, you know, I have no choice but to talk to people. And then as I do, it feels good. Now you're making new connections, but I'm so closed off. And I think for me, I miss opportunities to preach the gospel because it's not that I'm not kind or not nice. I just come off as unapproachable. And I like that. Christian knows Fred. He says he makes time for everyone, right? Y'all need to start being more friendly. Jeremy, I'm done with you, bro. Not friendly, Fredly. He's going to hear that this morning at CrossFit. We got to be more Fredly. Oh my gosh, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Fredly? That's good stuff. That's good stuff. These are the guys who I roll with, right? By the way, these are the guys who I roll with. We have a lot of fun at men's group. But this is convicting, right? I think that we can all do a better job of being aware and not missing these opportunities that God is giving us by being more kind, being more friendly. Now, this doesn't mean if you're running at night and you've got your headphones in and the guy's like in a white van waving at you and he's like, hey, I need help. I'm not saying be friendly in situations that are sketchy. I don't want to get anybody taken, right? That's the last thing I'm trying to say. So don't start being friendly in situations that are uncomfortable. Like, don't do that. But I believe if you're being led by the Spirit, and I can look back and see situations where, man, if I was just a little bit more kind or open, if I didn't prejudge people, or if I wasn't just so consumed with myself and being quiet trying to protect my peace all the time, then I think there would be more opportunities for me to preach the gospel. And so, you know, rocking with Fred, I need to start being more friendly. I like that. That's good stuff. But you guys, that's how Colossians ends. Then at the end, Paul is just rapping. He's, you know, Tychicus, I don't know how to say this name. He's just like, hey, he's my dear brother. And he goes through, he says his farewells and gives him a heads up. And that's kind of Colossians. But if we're going to be, if we're going to honor time and seriousness this morning, in Proverbs chapter 20, there was three verses that really stuck out with me. Okay. And you guys, again, you guys are reading the scripture on your own. I'm giving you some context. I'm giving you some food for thought. I'm giving you some random rants, praying that Holy Spirit speaks to you in some way, shape, or form. This might not be for you. And that's something I wanted to share. Sometimes the message, you're just like, ah, I didn't really get anything out of it. That's okay, because guess what? Somebody else did. So many times, if something didn't land for you, it might be exactly what somebody else needs. And that's a part of the body. That's a part of being the body. Because we're the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the mouthpiece, there's multiple pieces. And just because you're not going through something doesn't mean that somebody else isn't. And so we have to be, even in that moment where you're just like, maybe you're excited about getting into the scripture and Holy Spirit is dragging it on and we're going kind of off in tangents just because we're not sticking to the script. Believe that no word is said in vain and that the word of God doesn't return void. So even in this place, if maybe you're focused, and I get like that sometimes, right? I get like that. Yesterday, I'll give you an example. I'm going to repent. I'm going to just share. Yesterday, when we showed up to do content, I had my mind set on doing content. Well, we had already been there an hour, and we barely had the camera set up, and we were just talking. And so there was a part of me, I was like, ah, I just want to get into creating content. But when I said, you know what? Shush. Listen to what's going on. We're having real, raw, honest, transparent communication between men, which is something rare. And when I turned off my expectations and really opened my heart and my ears, we were having a conversation that I believe is going to change somebody's lives when they do actually watch it. But it was one of those moments where I took away my expectations and stopped trying to go based on this checklist and this time schedule. I got present, got in the moment, and God was able to speak to each of us, and we shared collectively. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Are we still talking about Fredly shirts on here? I love that. I love that. In chapter 20, verse 17, woo, this one spoke. It says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. For me, I always used to say that in the moment, sin satisfies, right? In the moment, but immediately after, there's that regret. So here, like, hear me out. You don't have to agree with this. This is my thought on this. Sex in the moment outside of wedlock, it feels good and it satisfies. But as soon as the act is over, then there's that feeling of regret and shame. And like, what did I just do? There's these second thoughts. There's this discouragement that comes in. So in the moment, right? Even for me, maybe having a drink, that first drink is so good, right? Even if you're trying to not drink, in the moment that sin is sweet, but it's the next day when you're hungover and you're questioning, why did I do this? I didn't want to do this. I failed. I messed up. And you can fill in the blank for any sin. Most of the time, sin is sweet in the moment. Right? So bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. It's like taking a bite of that sweet bread. Oh, in the moment, it's sweet to taste, right? But once you start chewing on it, you're like, oh man, and your mouth is filled with gravel. So sin satisfies for a brief moment. And that's what keeps people bound. That's what keeps people locked in. That's why people get into these continuous cycles of sin and they don't repent, is because for the moment it's sweet and it feels good and it's exciting and you think that you're really living, but immediately after you're convicted and you don't feel good and it doesn't feel right and there's this shame. And what many of us do, rather than running to the foot of the cross, repenting and asking God to change us and transform us and walking in the boldness and the authority of who we are in Jesus, we continue to compile more sin on top of sin. So we'll fall into sin, and then there's this cycle of regret and shame and frustration and discouragement. And rather than running to the foot of the cross, we perform the sin again because we're looking for that little reprieve, that little bit of becoming numb. And so this proverb just reminds me, man, that sin might be sweet for a moment, but it always ends up being gravel in your mouth. It will always be counterfeit. It will never amount to the love, the peace, the clarity, the comfort, the joy, all of the things that you find in Christ. Amen. That's why people chase the dragon. That's why people chase the high. That's what they say. And this proverb, though it doesn't say sin, it just speaks on that idea And you guys understand when you sin, even saved, if I were to, even as I say something, it might feel good to tell somebody off in the moment, right? Ooh, they had it coming. And it's been building up. And there's just this big relief of like, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And I unload on them. And in that moment, I'm just like, yeah, that felt good. And then you walk away and you're like, what did I just do? Why did I just say that? I just posted on Instagram about love and forgiveness, and here I am not loving, not forgiving, and I'm talking to somebody in a manner, in a way that I shouldn't. You feel me? And it's just like, oh my goodness. So even in that moment, it doesn't have to be as exhaustive or extreme as like having an affair, but sin in and of itself, the act of sin is like that sweet bread in the moment. Yes, oh, that's what I'm talking about. But then immediately after, you start to feel the effects of falling short. It's a beautiful thing. Whew. Verse 19, it says, he that goeth about as a tellbearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips. Verse 19 was good too, because look, man, if there's people out there who are gossiping and running around, right? It says, he that goeth about as a tellbearer reveals secrets. You know, it says, don't mess with him. Don't mess with him. Get away from him. If you have people in your circle who are just like, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Well, let me tell you. And they're all up in everybody else's business. Or you're hanging out with somebody, and as soon as that person leaves, another person leaves, they're just like, hey, let me tell you about this. Get away from that person. That's not somebody who's submitted to God, because gossip is a sin. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not love, joy, peace, patience, and talking behind other people's backs, right? That's not a fruit of the Spirit. That's not somebody who's submitted to God. That's somebody who's more focused on other people, right? When somebody's gossiping, that says that their eyes are in everybody else's lane. They're in everybody else's business, but not their own. Many times people who are gossiping and talking about other people, they're deflecting and projecting their own stuff onto others so that they won't be exposed. Those aren't the kind of people that I want in my circle. Those aren't the kind of people that I want myself surrounded. I don't want to be surrounded by. It says, therefore, meddle not. Therefore, meddle not with them. With that flatter with his lips. Get away from gossips, man. They are poison. It says that a little bit of yeast can mess up the entire batch. And what's an appropriate way to do that, man? I will be straight with people. I mean, I don't have time to mince words or to play games, man. What I will do is I'll be like, hey, I don't have the space or capacity to do those things. I will shut people down. I will change the subject. I don't want that around me. I'm not interested in it. I don't want anything to do with somebody who's so worried about everybody else. There was a saying, what does it say? It says that, what was it? Something about low-minded people. Oh, non-successful people talk about people. Successful people talk about ideas. It was something like that. I butchered it. I don't even know who said it, but that was something that really spoke out to me. Like people who aren't, you know, unsuccessful people are so busy talking about what other people are doing, they don't have time to really focus on themselves. And so individuals who are successful, especially in the spirit, right? I want people who are running after Jesus. I want them so focused on the foot of the cross that they don't have time, energy, and effort to talk about others, right? Man, the last thing I want to say is this. Yeah, I don't know. I butchered the quote, man. I completely messed it up. But you get the gist, right? Verse 24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? I opened with that because that was the last thing that I read. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? I can't. I don't know. Let's put it this way. A year ago, I didn't know that I was going to be a pastor of a church, right? This wasn't a 5-year plan. This wasn't something that we sat down and had all of these amazing investors, and we didn't come in and buy a building and have a worship team. The church planting that took place in October was it really was a culmination that started and really began in July and August. So in a very short amount of time, we received the word, we sought counsel, we asked people about it, and then we really sat in prayer and was like, God, what is it? How do you want us to go about this? And then doors started opening and opportunities started opening, and we were like, well, we don't have like a parent church. We don't even have a solid church that we go to every week because it was in the middle of a pandemic. And he said, no, we're planting a church even in the middle. And it was just like full submission. And here we go. I didn't know in April and May of last year that I would have a church in October. So there's no way that I could have planned what God was going to do. And so again, it's just like for me, I'm in a place where it's just like, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I am a vessel for the Holy Spirit. I am sold out. If you, as long as you're with me, I'll go there. Take me wherever it is that you want me to go. I'm here. Right? He's gone before us, right? He's always with us. But man's goings are of the Lord. How can man then understand his own? I can't understand. I don't even try anymore. I wake up and it's like, thanks for giving me breath, Lord. What are we doing? Where are we going? Who are we talking to? I know that it's all about you. So I've got maybe 24 more hours. You've blessed me with maybe 24 more hours. What is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life? And I want to be focused. And everything that I do today, because that's all I can focus on, is today, how can I make you more known with my time, my energy, my effort, and my resources? Awesome. Let's do it. And guess what? He provides every single day the things that I need. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And I guess my encouragement for you guys, and this is what you guys will do. Some of you will do, oh, well, this is your full-time job. This is what you do. So it's easier for you. I had to work to get here and God had to open a lot of doors. When people tell me about how busy they are, I love that because I understand busyness, but I'm gonna share my hustle grind mentality and where I was at many times. When I was 25, I was taking a full course of school. I went to school for 5 years and I earned 2 college degrees, separate college degrees, right? At that same time, not only was I in school, I was taking 21 to 24 credits each term plus summer. So I put 2 degrees into 5 years. So to say that I was busy would be an understatement. On top of that, I played college basketball on scholarship. So we traveled. While I was in school, I was academic all-star as well as the dean's list every single term. I didn't miss. Okay, I was in there. I was killing it in my grades plus playing school. At the time, I had 2 kids about to give birth to my third. I wasn't about to give birth. I was about to have my third kid. So while I was in college taking 21 to 24 credits, I was also in school playing basketball. I was also raising my kids. At the same time, I was starting a business. I was starting a gym. Right? I was doing personal training. I was working 15 hours a week. So I understand the grind. I understand the busyness. I went to Western Oregon University as well as Lynn Benton. So I went to two different schools, 2 at one and two and a half at one, or 2 at one and 3 at the other. So while I was in school, I understand the hustle grind mentality and how hard it was and juggling all of these different hats. I was doing a lot. I get it. I get it. But at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, what's most important? At the end of the day, the thing that's most important is our Lord. It's our Savior. It's the plan and the purpose. That was an example of me making all of these plans and making my life so busy because I was trying to make a checklist of accolades, achievements, and awards. You know how much I use my degrees? All of the time, energy, and effort that I spent on building my own kingdom. My kingdom failed. My kingdom fell apart. It crumbled. Me, you know, running on all cylinders and burning the candle at both ends and having this hustle grind mentality so I could have some awards and achievements. Bro, there's pieces of paper that are stuck in a box somewhere. I don't even use my degrees in public health and health promotion education. I have degrees in health and exercise and science and sports and all of these things. I'm a pastor. I don't even use the degrees. I was literally running and chasing after things. I think that busyness has become an idol, especially in our culture, right? If you're not hustling, grinding, chasing the bag, if you're not out there getting yours, are you even living? But that's not the pace at which God operates. God has a pace. It says that his yoke is easy. It's easy. We complicate things because we exalt our goals, visions, and dreams over the ones that God has for us. And we think that an indication of our success is how much crap can I fit into my 24-hour day. You know what I mean? That's what we do. We think that it's all about that grind mentality. Let's go, 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 go. Let's go. And the busier I am, right? We use our schedules, you know, as it's like our idol. You know, we're on our phone. Oh, no, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. I got a coffee at 11:30. Well, I might be able to fit you in. I got a Zoom at 12:15. Oh, well, after 12:15, you know, I got to get on a conference call. And then after a conference call, I got to take a 15-minute power nap. And then I've got Pilates at 5. And then I got Bible study at 5:30. Man, I'm just not going to be able to fit you in, right? And then we're like, oh, wow, man, you're all about business. You're so busy. God, you're so important. You're on the grind, man. You're about that hustle life. We love that. And we just, oh, they're so cool. They've got their little headpiece and they've got their phone on a belt. It's so cool. Man, we love that. And we exalt that. We think, oh, you're so busy. You're so successful. And God's like, why? Why are you filling all of the time? I've given you this precious time. And you're filling it and busying it with your own personal goals and dreams and visions of success. And I'm telling you, when you get to those places, if it's not grounded and surrounded and all about Him, it's going to fail to satisfy. It's going to be another paperweight, right? All of the trophies and accolades and achievements that I got, right? All of those things, they're paperweights. They're molded up. They're found in boxes. They're not hanging on my wall. None of those things truly mattered. I need to slow down. It's what is it? Tuesday? It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday? And we're out here preaching. I'm going to slow it down. Listen, this is what I want to do. We're ending Colossians, Proverbs chapter 20 today. This is your guys' reading. This is what I want to do. I want to switch gears. I think that we've got enough to really pray on and to think on. Hold on a second. I'm going to sneeze. Oh, man. God bless me. That was wild. My whole eardrum popped. Crazy. Apologize. What I want to do is, if maybe you're here and you're just like, wow, this has been really helpful. This has been cool. Or maybe you're on here and like, this guy is lame. I don't ever want to come back to coffee and prayer. Well, we thank you for joining us. And we love you regardless. But I want to offer you guys, in all seriousness, I want to offer you guys the opportunity. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you have not given your life to Christ. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you're in this place, and if you walked away from here and you passed away, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you question your salvation. Listen, salvation is a free gift that you receive by putting your faith in Jesus once and for all. Right? You allow yourself to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit, and He dwells within you. And daily you have this process of picking up your cross, right? It is done. It is finished. But once you receive Christ and salvation, now you have the you have the privilege of living a life for Him. You get to choose to pick up your cross. You get to choose to follow the Spirit. You get to choose to walk in the authority and the boldness that you have because of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. It is a thing of beauty, and it is the best decision and choice that you will ever make. And if that's you, maybe you right here, right now, and I'm talking to you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I want you to say, I want to be saved. And right, not just in your living room, but right here in the chat, right? In the chat, I want you to type in, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And only one, it only takes one. Heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices if that's you and you're like, man, I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to be saved, in the comment section. And if we get one, then we'll say a prayer. I'll look at that right there. I want to be saved. That's somebody right there. Glory to God. Heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices. Amen. Amen. We got several people right now who want to be saved. They want to make the best decision that they will ever make in their entire life. And don't wait. You guys, don't delay. We are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow. Make that choice. Make that decision. Don't wait. Don't wait. Amen. This is what I want to do. I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want you guys to say this prayer in your heart with yourself. And if you truly mean it, I believe that God will truly, you will receive Holy Spirit. And that you will be saved. So pray this with me. I want you to say, God, I know that my sin separates me from you. But I also believe that Jesus paid the price for my sin. I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody makes it to the Father except through him. I receive the free gift of salvation. And I invite Jesus to be the Savior of my soul and the Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I pray that the Holy Spirit will dwell within me. I repent of my sins, meaning I will change the direction of my life with the power of Christ. And I will breathe every breath that I have left in a way that brings glory and honor to the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe and I know that if you truly mean that, Holy Spirit will dwell within you. You are inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. And hallelujah, hallelujah. And that he will help change you, mold you, shape you, correct you. This does not mean that life will be easy. This does not mean that, there will be an absence of issues and obstacles. This does not mean that whatever you ask for, you just rub the Bible and God gives it to you. And if he doesn't give you what you want, then he doesn't love you or he's disappointed. It just means that he loves you and he wants better for you. So all praise and glory to God. I'm so thankful to be a part of this community and what God's doing here in this place. If you just accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you guys to go to my website, royalcitychurch.org, or the Instagram page, and there are some free resources there for you guys. If you want to hear from God, read your Bible, right? If you want to talk to God, pray. You have 24-hour access to him. But go check out my website, the free resources, and I think that'll help get you guys on the right track. And then show up for coffee and prayer. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that we do here. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. So let's pray a prayer together, saints, and we'll get up out of here and have a great rest of our day. So Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for today. We just want to thank you for all of these wonderful souls that made a choice and a decision for you this morning. We pray that you would be with us, that you would lead us and guide us and help us to be ambassadors for who you are, God. Help us to be a light in this dark and evil world. We pray for opportunity. God, opportunity to bring you glory and to share your gospel with those who don't believe and those who might be lost. God, we consider it a joy. We consider it an absolute privilege to carry around the secret of Jesus with us. And so again, Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to miss any opportunity, but help us to stay alert, constantly praying, aware and awake of the life that we're living and the situation that we are in. Help us to stay focused on the mission, the objective, the plan, the purpose, and the will that you have created us for. God, help us to surrender and lay down all of our visions, dreams, and goals. God, we know and understand that sometimes our visions, dreams, and goals line up with your plan and purpose, and it's such a beautiful thing. But God, if there's a plan, purpose, a vision, a dream, or a goal that we are pursuing that doesn't line up with what you have, God, make that clear to us so that we can make a choice and a decision for you. So that we can change the trajectory of our lives by choosing to follow the Spirit and not our own fleshly desires. God, give us discernment. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's what we want. Help us to have the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your will. Give us discernment. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Make things plain before us as we know you want us to have a divine revelation of where you are taking us. So God, right now we pray that you would reveal those things to us, that you would open our heart and help us to make choices and decisions that will bring honor and glory to your name. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I love you guys. I honor you. I hope you guys all have an amazing rest of your day. I look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow. So much for short and sweet. Oh, we're going to be short and sweet today. No, we've literally gone over an hour again. Okay. Holy Spirit, we're here and we love you. We thank you. You guys have a great day and I'll catch up with you tomorrow.